This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
Hello, and welcome to Long Shots, the cognizant edition of the podcast. Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, Kelly Bidlin coming to you guys. As always, you can become a VSiN Pro subscriber over at the site. If you use the promo code GOLF, G-O-L-F, we're going to save you $41 off an annual subscription over at VSiN. So go ahead, hit that up, VSiN Pro subscription. You get Wes's articles. You get all the stuff that we do for every single sport, betting guides and all of the betting splits pages and picks pages and things like that. Use the promo code GOLF, G-O-L-F, for $41 off an annual subscription, VSiN.com/subscribe. I laughed at this, Wes. This is was the longtime Honda Classic. It was the venue of a broken heart for you and I last year as we had triple-digit Eric Cole, who burst onto the scene and ended up losing in a playoff, and that was really terrible for us. But we were able to hedge off, make a little bit of money in all of that. But we come back this year with Honda being gone. It's going to be cognizant, and we have a field that does include one superstar, but that's about it.
Yeah, we are cognizant of the sponsor change here because Honda, longest uninterrupted sponsorship, by the way, of the PGA Tour, 1982, and then now done. It is Cognizant, which is a IT company headquartered in New Jersey. But we also got to make our listeners, if they weren't with us last week, cognizant of the fact that Matt Brown aboard Jake Knapp last week at the Mexico Open at Vedanta Vallarta. And congratulations. I stared at 28-1 after round one. I'm like, I really should be playing this, and I didn't, and I regretted it. But nice shout for Jake Knapp, and he's not going to have to be bouncing in a nightclub anymore.
No,
he's not going to be having to do that.
Got him a 7-figure payday, and those are long behind him, hopefully.
What other jobs did he do? I heard like delivering food. I've heard of more of past jobs with this guy now.
When we go to Around the World with Wes for the DP World Tour, I'll have to spotlight the co-runner-up last week. Who, by the way, still delivering groceries in the UK,
okay,
despite the fact that he got the biggest paycheck of his career last week in Kenya.
Look at that. That's a long tease right there, guys. You're going to want to hang around for that bit of info for sure. Yeah, appreciate it, Wes. It was a good tournament all around. Had that thing pretty surrounded. Had Valamaki outright second as well. EBR was in the top 10 as well. So it was a good tournament. Onto the Honda, as I said, a very fresh wound for me still when I saw that. And I'm like, you know what? I'm kind of glad that they changed this name to Cognizant because I want to forget that Honda Classic from last year where we had that triple digit ticket and it looked real, real, real good there for a while. And we do have Eric Cole in the field here with Rory McIlroy. But Kelly, outside of that, it is, you know, it's the field is deep from the middling standpoint, but it's not superstar driven. It's Rory. And then you're all the way down at you know, Rory's 650 to win this thing. Then we drop all the way to 22-1 is the next closest guy.
Yeah, well, you know, I just feel like I got to bring it up right now, as bad as I feel for you guys. This is clearly a great example of how brains remember bets, because I hit awkwardly on Chris Kirk last year as you two had the Eric Cole tickets, and it's like the nobody text each other tournament, because, it's one of the few times where you're like, I really hope you lose your money because I want my money to get home.
Right.
This is the rare this was by far my best tournament last year because I had the Joseph Bramlett first round leader ticket, I believe, as well in this one. Interesting field here. This was I miss the Honda. This is a tournament that is near and dear to my heart, having covered it for about a dozen plus years down there in Palm Beach Gardens. It's great to see Rory back at it. It's always a shame every single year that more guys don't show up to this event when they all live with like within 20 minutes of where it's played at. Some names that have done well at this tournament here in the past, and then. You know, we brought this up a couple weeks ago, but I just think an interesting odds board overall that you're staring at this week when you see names like Ricky Fowler, as long as he is, compared to some of these guys that, you know, for the average golf fan might feel like is some no names kind of in the middle. It's just kind of the new state of golf and where we're at with some of these dudes.
Yeah, Rory 650, Cam Young 22, Russell Henley 25, as is Eric Cole, Tom Kim at 28. Matt Fitzpatrick at 28, as is Benny Ahn, Minwoo Lee, JT Poston at 30. Then you get to Steven Yeager, Shane Lowry, Keith Mitchell, Daniel Berger, Corey Connors, all at 35. Then we get to that 40-1 where, again, some guys that are household names if you bet golf. I mean, Sung J.M., Sepp Straka, Chris Kirk, Adam Spencer sitting there at 40 to one. Luke List at 45, Bo Hostler at 45. Everybody else is 50 or longer in this one. So, Wes, when we look at this field, I mean, sure, we would like to see a couple of more big name guys in there just from a viewing standpoint. But outside of that, from a betting standpoint, I kind of like this because we'll all be dodging Rory, I'm sure, from an outright mm-hmm. perspective. But like, you know, it when it jumps down into the 20s for the next closest guy, like we're in the market to hopefully make some money as long as Rory didn't run away with this thing.
Yeah, this mm-hmm. actually, as you pointed out, is a really deep field. No, mm-hmm. no like real superstars at the top other than Rory, of course, but 19 of the top 50 in the official world golf ranking. So it's actually pretty deep in the mid-range, which is nice to see, even though we haven't had a ton of mid-range shots win this tournament in recent years. Kirk, 25-1 last year, a little bit shorter than he'd normally be. You've had Sungjae Im, 35, Justin Thomas, Ricky Fowler. They were in the teens. Adam Scott was 20-1 when he won a few years ago. Rory, 9-1 when he won here in 2012. But you've had bombs here, too. You've had Sepp Straka at 125-1. Keith Mitchell, 300-1. Remember when he chased down Brooks Koepka and Ricky Fowler to win that event back in 2019. Patty Harrington in the playoff over Daniel Berger was 400-1 back in 2015. Henley, 300-1 a year before. So it's either been like a shorter range or a bomb here, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Wes, let's talk about the course. PGA National going to play as a 71 instead of a 70 this year. They did lengthen one of the par fours to make it a par five. The scoring here had been trending towards a little bit easier, and you would think now adding a par five, it should be a little bit easier on these guys as well.
Yeah, no question. If you look at the difficulty, and I put this in the article up at VSiN.com, this has been the toughest non-major championship course on the PGA Tour in 6 of the last 10 seasons. This was the second most difficult course on tour last year, and it's been, I think, top 7 for like the last 6 years. So looking through that, I mean, this is a lot. This is a tournament that you see, and I was actually surprised it got such a good field because you see a lot of guys skip this because this will beat you down. With all the water on the course and the fact that it's pretty damn exposed, not a lot of trees, so winds, because it's not that far off the Atlantic coast here. And, you know, just to do a little bit more of a rundown in terms of the numbers of the course, Champions Course at PGA National, Tom and George Fazio did design this. Jack Nicklaus did the redesign most recently in 2018. Par 71, as you mentioned now, because the 10th, the long par four has now been converted to a very short par five. So that's going to be one of the few scorable holes here. Pars are good scores, and there are very few holes you can attack. I mentioned all the water, 26 hazards, and it's on play of 15 of the 18 holes. That's the most on tour. 8 of the 15 of those holes, you got to carry over the water to reach the green on your approach. So you get arguably the most water balls. I forget the exact number, but the most water balls on tour here really over the last several years. So you're going to see some forced layups. You're not going to see guys take driver off the tee all the time. You're going to see them take three metal or kind of the shorter irons. Rough is not really that penal because it's already penal enough with all the water and a lot of the bunkers here. Fairways are relatively narrow, 32 yards wide. Bermuda greens are pretty big, 7,000 yards, even though the GIR rate is like 59%. So above average speed, slightly above average, 12 on the stimp, does have the highest double bogey or worse percentage on the PGA Tour. So this is going to be a challenge for these guys.
Kelly, having covered this thing as many times as you have, the weather for a tournament like this is, you know, we always talk about the Florida weather, but we can definitely see some winds down there, correct?
Yeah, it is. I think it's the thing that surprises you the most every single year when you go out there. Like, it's just, you get into this space, obviously it's a golf course, but it's this wide open area when you're talking, you're only 7 miles away from the ocean, but like down there, Wes, it's like pretty, it feels very far removed from the ocean, but there's nothing around you where they have the course. There's no buildings. There's no nothing. It's in a neighborhood, adjacent to neighborhoods. So there's nothing really blocking the winds and it's not a traditional really Parkland course where there's a ton of trees on the ground. So when it picks up, I just remember every year when I was out there, I feel like there's at least one round where you're like, wow, like it really got windy all of a sudden.
Yeah, you start seeing guys that were up there the day before just tumbling down the leaderboard, making double and bogey after bogey, especially, of course, the Bear Trap holes 15 through 17.
Yep.
Par 3, two par threes blanket this dogleg par four that's the 16th. So the 18th is that par five, which is one of the easier holes on the course. But 15 to 17 is where this tournament's often won or lost.
Yeah, I mean, everybody talks about the water. Everybody talks about the water. They talk about the bear trap. But you hit right on it. It is the. I felt like when I was there every year, it was the wind, where it was like, okay, well, this comes out of nowhere. And then it's still South Florida. So as much forecast projection as we want to do, that's great until rain pops up out of nowhere for a couple hours and some things go sideways. We saw that. What was that? Was Shane Lowry like a couple years ago?
Yeah.
I remember like just getting just absolutely doused with rain for a while.
Yeah, right on the 18th too. Yeah. Sepp Straka, I think, was in the house. And Lowry was trying to get in the playoff, and then all of a sudden it just started pouring at the worst possible time.
Yeah, so that's Florida weather. That could happen, right? Anytime. Yep.
He definitely got robbed. I mean, like he got robbed in that one because that was absolutely ridiculous. For old Shane Lowry, I'm sure someone that we will talk about here as we get going, but let's talk about our models just a little bit. We'll of course on the other side of the break talk about what it spit out and what ended up on our cards this week. But guys, for me, I know we always talk about approach, but pretty heavy on approach, but I went a little bit heavier on the bogey avoidance than I normally do and things like that, like guys that are decently putting themselves in positions to make par. And I know that seems like, oh no, you want scores, but if we're thinking 10 under probably wins this thing, then I just want guys out there that'll make pars and move on, right? And so kind of heavily focused on that a little bit more this week than I normally do in the model. Wes, what did you come up with this week?
Yeah, very similar. I did use approach. I think this is the prototypical cliched second shot golf course. Toughest course actually on the PGA Tour last season to gain on approach. So I felt you definitely had to look at that. I also felt you have to look at off the tee. Sepp Straka led off the tee here 2 years ago. This is the fourth toughest stroke to gain off the tee because the distance is shorter and the accuracy, is pretty narrow. Even though the rough's not all that penal, it's just a little bit around 60%. So I use strokes gained off the tee here as well. Scrambling. You are going to have to scramble out of the greens. It's a little bit easier to scramble out of the bunkers, but maybe not so much the short grass. So scrambling percentage here has only been about 55%, whereas opposed to the tour, it's like 58 to 59%. So it's tougher everywhere. You mentioned bogey avoidance. Pars are going to be good scores here. You can maybe only attack and feel like you have maybe about four birdie holes out here, the par fives, and then I think there's a short par four. So you get big numbers that can lurk. So I put a little double bogey avoidance in there as well, which I hardly ever do. Approach buckets, 125 to 200 is a really big range. I put all three, 25 to 50, 50 to 75, 75 to 100 in there just for context, because proximity is difficult on the larger greens, but probably about 2/3 of the shots are going to be in that range, but that's like it is most weeks anyway. Strokes gained putting Bermuda. Now that they're off the POA and off the Paspalum last week in Mexico, they're back to that Florida Bermuda. Some guys really like this. They are grainier greens, but they like these greens better. Strokes gained scoring, difficult scoring. I think it could be difficult, even though there has been some rain down there. So maybe it softens the greens a little bit, but I still don't think you're going to be shooting high teens or 20 under to win this thing. And then correlated courses with PGA National, I used a little bit of Bay Hill, TPC Sawgrass Concession, obviously regular Florida courses on the tour, Copperhead at the Innisbrook Resort as well. And then some of the par 70s, even though this is a 71 now, Colonial, Wailea, a little bit of Quail Hollow as well, and then kind of combine them all to see who has total strokes gained on those courses.
Yeah. Kelly, I should put in there, I did do, I'm not a huge, putting guy weighing putting in the models, but I did put Bermuda in there this week strictly because it's just these dudes that I want to, we put stuff in the model sometimes just to differentiate guys. And so I definitely wanted some differentiators in there, but listen, we talk about, Sam Bermuda Burns. We talk about, these guys that put the lights out on these Bermuda greens. And so I do think specifically with this being a big change for a lot of these guys coming off the West Coast and coming off of Mexico and things like that, that, these dudes that are super familiar with Bermuda, I did want to at least see who those guys were.
Yeah, it's funny because, you're right. We often say it as a bit of a tiebreaker. I would say I still used it the same way, but I'm looking for guys that, you know, are up there just purely in the Bermuda ranks, right? Like just over a long time period. Cause you're right. You are always more comfortable with those guys that, you know, are more comfortable on that punting surface. So, yeah, I definitely looked at that a little bit more than I usually do as well. I think it's important when you switch, when you know you're switching surfaces and you're switching surfaces for multiple tournaments, too. I think it's a good idea to get started on looking at guys that are going to be putt better on, you know, whatever grass are attacking that week, but Bermuda this week. Yeah, you guys mentioned a lot of things that I factored in. Bogey avoidance, scrambling, definitely more important this week than usual. I think the off the tee stuff here is always fascinating because it's one of those, it's another one of those situations. And Matt, you bring this up often where I think distance matters here. You don't really think of it as a course. It's not a long course, so you don't really think of it in that sense. But the way you describe this, I think, is the real key description of this course of the. Hey, on some of these par fours that are so tough, the further you can get it down there and the short, you know, shorter iron that you have in is going to help you out and actually be able to tack maybe some of these pins on the par fours, where for the most part, that's going to be extremely difficult. So it is interesting because I think you need a mix of accuracy and distance off the tee this week, but the accuracy, you know, air quotes a little bit, because it's, you know, they even brought down the rough a little bit this year, I saw, Wes. So it's kind of like, as long as you're not hitting it in the water, you're mainly okay. But you got 11 to 14, drives that have water in play. So that is extremely important to be, keeping it dry. And then you guys hit pretty much everything else. And this is, you know, one of the toughest courses on approach. So definitely factor that in, all those proximity buckets you mentioned as well, Wes. This is, I love it. Matt, I know you brought this up in years past, so I love this tournament. I think after the bear trap and you get that par five to close, it's always a little fun to get a different par five as your finishing hole. You get a little bit more excitement with some things that can happen down the stretch. So really love this tournament. Love watching it every single year. I wish more of these guys would show up for the tough test.
Yeah, that's the reason they don't.
Exactly, they don't.
Yeah, they don't want to get their egos crushed as they head into these elevated events these next couple of weeks. So yeah, that's the reason that they don't.
It's so sad.
Yeah, yeah. I know. It's silly.
Rory withdraw from this one with a toothache. So we'll see. Hopefully, about 14 years later, he doesn't pull those same games. All right, Rory, toothache, got it, sure, buddy.
Rory went out there and played a practice round and was like, "Yeah, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. No way, no how." All right, on the other side of the break here, we will come back with all of our plays, and of course, we're going to head around the world. We'll rest Winrolds. We are back here on Long Shots Golf Betting Podcast here on the VSiN Podcast Network. Quick reminder, guys, if you use the promo code GOLF, G-O-L-F, we'll save you $41 on an annual subscription over at VSiN.com/subscribe. So everything we do over there for $41 off for the annual subscription, use the promo code GOLF. Before we get into what our models spit out, we got to go around the world with Wes Reynolds.
And we will start in South Africa, but we have to go back to Kenya last week. Darius Van Driel, 80-1, had lost his card on the DP World Tour, regained it through the Q School, did win by 2 strokes at the expense of our boy, though, Nacho Oliveira, who finishes
T2. Like, that
T2.
Almost got home. That almost got
did.
Home.
Let's it did. He finished T2. And honestly, his brother, Manuel, was actually in better position to win. He was in the final pairing. And I think ended up finishing, like, T6 or T7. But Van Driel gets there at 80-1. El Nacho tied with the guy I kind of teased at the beginning of the show, this kid named Joe Dean, who got his DP World Tour card back on the Q School last year. Still working as a supermarket delivery driver to fund, because he didn't have the money to go to Qatar. So he's having to, like, pick and choose his spots. So that's how it's getting him money. But now he got a second place check on the DP World Tour. So maybe that's going to help him out. So a lot of travel for these guys. So there are a lot of expenses there. But
Wes, I was just going to ask, how many tournaments do we play in South Africa?
We have 2 back-to-back starting this week, actually.
Well, wasn't there some in, like, November, December we were talking about,
too? There is,
okay, yeah. I thought it was going crazy here.
Because they co-sanctioned this with the Sunshine Tour, which is the South African tour. So we've got 2 starting this week. This week is on the Eastern Cape. It's a St. Francis Lynx, which is a Jack Nicklaus signature design. So 2 South Africans, Thurston Lawrence and Xander Lombard, top of the odds board at 16-1. Winner here, by the way, was Matthew Baldwin, who is at 80-1. This is the second year they've done this event. This is called the SDC Championship. down there in South Africa. St. Francis Links, as I mentioned, the Nicholas Signature design, also hosts the South African PGA Championship on the Sunshine Tour. So I put the link. I didn't go hole by hole and write it out. I just put the link in the column up at VSiN.com, par 72, 71, 92. Pretty standard Linksian type course. But for my selections this week, couple on the shorter end of the board, went with Ewan Ferguson at 16-1. Third here on debut here last year, two straight top 10s heading into this week, top 12 in approach and scrambling on the DP World Tour. He's kind of a regular fixture now up on the odds board, especially when some of the other regulars go play stateside on the PGA Tour. Tom McKibben, 20-1. He was 4 for me a couple weeks ago at the Qatar Masters. Only 18th here last year, but he actually had to fight his way back. He shot a 76, which is 5 over in the bad end of the weather. So Tom McKibben, 20-1. Nicholas Norgaard Muller at 40-1. Kind of fits the profile of Matthew Baldwin. Big hitter off the tee. 7th in distance, about 330 yards average. 1st in strokes gained off the tee. 7th at the Dunhill Links a couple years ago, so he's got Links pedigree. And then I'm going back with Nacho one more time.
Yeah.
At 50-1. A runner-up, a co-runner-up at Kenny. He was 23rd here on debut last year, but he's in pretty good form. He's made 5 or 6 cuts. Last year coming in, he finished no better than 40th. So I'm going to give Nacho another whirl. South African Ryan Van Velzen at 55-1, who was T3 actually at Kenya last week. 2 off the lead. Even par round on Sunday, finished T11. Each of the last 2 seasons, he's won on the Sunshine Tour. He's T3 on this course, actually, last year at the South African PGA Championship. And then the real bomb, Todd Clements, 110-1, who, if you might remember, beat Matt Wallace last summer at the Czech Masters. Yet to seriously contend, but he's showing off since that win. But 2nd on approach, 4th off the tee at the Qatar Masters 3 weeks ago. So the ball striking at least is good. So that's it for South Africa, but we still got another trip before we can come back home.
117 Visa Argentina Open.
No.
Live.
No, we will be in, what is it called? King Abdullah Economic City. It's Jeddah. Is basically what it's referred to in Saudi Arabia. And Dustin Johnson, of course, won the last live event 14-1 here in Vegas. This week, he actually comes back to a venue where he has won twice, 2019 and 2021, Saudi International. 2nd choice on the board this week. Rahm is the event favorite, as he's going to be every week. Koepka has won the last 2 here in Jeddah at Royal Greens is where what the course is called, going for the three-peat. Neiman, 3rd in Oman last week. Some of these guys that mid-tier and live played in Oman last week for what's the international series on the Asian Tour. And then 14-1, DeChambeau, Hatton, and Taylor Gooch, who lost in a playoff here to Koepka, who got himself in the news today where he said, if Rory McIlroy wins the Masters, you put an asterisk by it. I guess because he and Dean Burmester are not there.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Put an asterisk by that green jacket. I'm sure.
Take it easy, Taylor, without a Y.
Taylor, let's go, Taylor Gooch. He's been running his mouth a little bit. He puts his foot in it sometimes. But biggest story, by the way, this week is the fact that Anthony Kim looks like he is going to be returning to professional golf for the first time in 11 years. Liv did this mystery man kind of like video promotion. We know who it is. It's Anthony Kim. About 250-1 is the price I've seen him. So, you know,
looked like
I don't
he
know.
Was wearing sweats on the driving range.
I believe he was. Yeah, I believe he was. But, you know, this guy, we remember, was one time a prodigy. We thought, okay, this guy's going to be one of the next big stars in the game. Then injuries, and then took out that insurance policy and just seemed to lose interest in the game. So it'll be interesting. At least that, I think, is the draw of this week at Royal Greens, that par 70. It plays as a par 70. 72 for members, but par 70, about 70-50 in terms of the yardage. Typical desert course. If wind picks up, it can get a little bit difficult. Koepka's won the last 2 years here, 14-under, 12-under, both in playoffs. Also included the Saudi International, which we actually hit on Abe Anser here last year at 30-1. Abe Anser, Harold Varner, Dustin Johnson has won twice here. I did play a little Dustin Johnson at 9-1. His motivation can be a question mark sometime, but he won last time out. So it's like, okay, this guy's still got really good golf in him. And this is a course where he's never finished worse than 6th. And those events obviously include full field Saudi events and not the 50 player, whatever, live events. So Dustin Johnson, 9-1, Matthew Wolf, 40-1. fourth in Vegas, seventh in Oman last week, 10th and fifth the last 2 years on this course in Jeddah. And then Mito Pereira, 41-1, fourth in Oman last week, finished sixth here last year. By the way, the winner in Oman was Carlos Ortiz, and I believe Louis Oosthuizen was second.
Matthew Wolf playing a little better.
He is. Huh? Maybe Brooks Koepka throwing him under the bus, might have inspired this guy. I don't know.
Going back to the Gooch statement real quick, guys, before we talk about our plays. There's literally 11 live guys in the Masters field anyway. So it's like anyone who actually has any sort of win equity is in the field anyway. Him making that statement is so absurd.
So I guess John Rahm's Masters didn't matter last year.
I mean, every joke you've seen on Twitter today is so applies because yes, he's basically talking about himself. It's just him talking about himself. Yes. Which I'm sorry, Taylor, but let's take it easy a little bit.
Pump the brakes.
Yeah, pump the brakes on your future Hall of Fame career. Okay,
it's you kind of knew this was one of the potential consequences of going to this tour. So,
I can't wait till the Super League is joined, Taylor, and you get stuck behind Patrick Cantlay for a full three rounds or something like that, and you just can't. They're gonna haze you bad, buddy, when you get back with all the big guys.
All right, Kelly, we threw in the numbers, we crunched them, the model spit out some results. What actually ended up on your betting card this week?
Yeah, a bunch of guys went back and forth on, but I made three bets in front of you on Monday when we were doing a numbers game together, and I stand by them. I'm glad I did it. Outright card, Russell Henley, bet kind of immediately, but his number is basically around the same. I got 25-1. It's not like that's really moved. Shop around, but he was a top 10 model play for me. Had a feeling he'd pop. Has been playing, pretty well recently. It's been T24 Genesis, T58 Pebble. I don't know about you guys, but some of these Pebble Beach results, I'm just throwing out after the weather that occurred there. T58 Pebble, T4 at the Sony. So, he's had some up and down performances, but this is a guy, I think with all the water in play, I think it makes, course history a little less important just because of the extreme variance that can happen here, tournament after tournament. But having said that, Russell Henley, very successful here at the Honda before, T3 last year, T8 the year before, T20 the year before that. He's won here before, so he knows what he's doing. Played an outright on him, played a top 20 on him as well. Eric Cole was the other one I punched in right away. Sorry, boys. Hopefully he gets home this time and we're all on him, maybe, possibly. I don't know. Top 12 kind of model play for me. Obviously, second year, a year ago, we talked about, man, this guy keeps grinding. He just keeps grinding. The most shocking thing when I look up anything Eric Cole is how he keeps playing every freaking tournament that he can play. I felt like we were making those jokes at the end of the fall last year. And man, this year too, T10 Genesis, T49 Phoenix, T14 Pebble, Miss Card the Farmers, T21 Amex, T13 Sony, T14 Century. He's played in everything you can so far. So I went back to Eric Cole. I only played an outright on him this week. I think with the way he can spray it off the tee a little, sometimes that is concerning here with all the water that is in play. So we'll see if he can replicate what he did a year ago. Okay, moving on down the outright list. Another guy I only played an outright on, Daniel Berger, returning to a course that he has played probably about 4,562 rounds on over the course of his life, having grown up, right down the road from here and gone to high school about 10 minutes away. He had that, what was it, a 5-shot lead in the final round, right, 2022, but choked that away here, and obviously he's been dealing with all the back issues. So my boy Berger, I'm playing an outright on you this week, and of course you're very, very familiar with. See what he can do here this week. Moving on then, last outright that I do have in my account, Adam Svensson, another South Florida guy. He's still in Delray, right, Wes? I know where all these guys are.
Yeah, okay. He plays out of this course, yes.
Okay, great. So, yeah, he's right there still. I know he was for a while. He was the model surprise for me this week where he finished top 8 in everything that I ran and was kind of surprised by it. Up and down results here. He had a T9, though, 2 years ago. Recent results, this is what I was kind of surprised by. T10 at the Genesis, miscut at Phoenix, T47 at Pebble, miscut at Farmers, T30 at Sony. It's not exactly he's had an amazing season, so I was a little surprised where he did pop up in the stats for me. He was my last outright play, did play a top 20 on him as well. other top 20s I played then. JT Poston, going back to him because he just continues to be a top 20 machine. Another guy hasn't had a ton of success here in the past, but just kind of moving past that. And then Doug Gim, I know you bet him last week, Matt. We always talk about him spiking in the models, but he's kind of put together a few good tournaments here recently too. So played a top 20 on him at about 275, both him and Svensson over 2-1. So that is my entire card. Four outrights, four top 20s right now.
Wes, what did you end up throwing in your account, my friend?
Yeah, I'm still considering Eric Cole. I know it's going to be popular, but sometimes popular ones do win, and he certainly made a lot of sense. Didn't make it initially for me. Certainly will be a lot of placement markets I'll have on him. Started with Cameron Young, who I found at 26-1 at Syracuse, 22-25 now in the market. First in total driving over the last 24 rounds. Already got a couple top 10 finishes this season. Also does have a win on this course. Now, granted, he was 16 years old, and it was the 2013 AJGA, America Junior Golf Association Polo Golf Junior Classic. And,
there you go.
And also was in the match play the next year and got knocked out. So does at least have experience on this course. And a guy also has good experience on this course and actually good success here. Benny On, 31-1, T4 in 2020, T5 in 2018, seventh for strokes gained off the tee last 36 rounds. Began 2024, of course, with the two top fours in Hawaii, including the playoff loss at Wailea, which I think still has a little bit of correlation. If you look at some guys that have won the Sony Open, they've also won this event, so, and have played well in this event. Like we saw Chris Kirk win it here last year. He did not win the Sony Open, but I think he was like third or tied for second the year before. So there is some correlation here. I'll add with Kelly on Daniel Berger at 40-1, who not only resides in nearby Jupiter, but he's lived there since he was 13. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of these players, you know, Rory, Fitzpatrick, a lot of these guys actually live down in Jupiter, play at Medalist and Seminole. So this is not that far away from West Palm Beach. Made the playoff here as a tour rookie in 2015, lost to Harrington. Fourth his last two visits. Kelly explained where he blew the 5-shot lead. He's been on the comeback trail here. He missed nearly a year and a half of that injury. This is kind of a similar narrative maybe to Zalatoris at Riviera, who loves that course, has always said he loves that course, and, you know, contended and was right there until Matsuyama decided to shoot a 62 and break all of our hearts. But Berger, I think this could be the week where it's like, oh, Daniel Berger, you know, here he is. He's still out here. You know, this was a guy that had the pedigree of a great player and that he's back. So 41 on Daniel Berger. Keith Mitchell, 41-1, who was a play for me, who only finished top 20 last week. But when you look at how he struck the ball, he was second on approach, third in GIR, eighth in driving distance, 10th for strokes gained OTT, second best overall ball striker in the field behind Knapp, of course, who was the eventual winner, top 10 here last year. And I think Keith Mitchell, you know, kind of really fits here. I remember he won at 300-1 back in 2019. So 41-1, not getting quite that number, but I love the way he hit the ball last week. Just couldn't really putt. But that was the Paspalum, and this is now the Bermuda where he's more used to it. So Keith Mitchell, 41-1. And Mark, another one down for Adam Svensson, 55-1. This is his home course. He actually made the Korn Ferry, I think, qualifying school back here in 2015 and ran away with it at the Q school. Also won on this course when he was a student at Barry University, which Kelly, of course, being a South Floridian, very familiar with. On his first PGA Tour events here, Svensson was fourth at halfway and then was ninth in 2022. So he's got some, and he played really well at Riviera, top 10, struck the ball really well. I think he'll putt a little bit better on the Bermuda, maybe than the POA. So Svensson, 55-1.
Oh, right. There it is. All there right.
There we go. We got one.
A true pod play for the first time in a while. I'd have Svensson on the card as well. Oh, that's fun. Let's get that one home.
Absolutely. That's what I'll root for. Christian Bezuidenhout at 60-1. First place check at the Amex, even though he didn't win. The amateur Nick Dunlap won, but he got the first place check. So he's still trying to get that first win on the PGA Tour. Plays his best golf seemingly in Florida. He's made 9 of 10 cuts in events here. He's been playing predominantly over here stateside, the South African, for the last couple of years. a couple top 20, a seventh and a couple other top 20s at Bay Hill, 13th at the Players last year, where he was top five after each of the last three rounds. And then one bomb I went with, not a guy that you think of Florida. You think of him more on the West Coast, a very young player, but Taylor Montgomery at 150-1. Top four in scrambling and strokes gained Bermuda putting over the last 36 rounds. The approach play has picked up. So I think Taylor Montgomery could, I don't know if he'll be quite an Eric Cole surprise like last year, but Eric Cole, kind of a lot of people knew what he was doing, that he was from the area and he was playing that. What I forget what the hell that tour is, where there's like $1,000 prize money to the winner that he would play during the week, the Pro Golf Tour, whatever it was called. But, you know, Eric Cole kind of had some signs. Montgomery may not have as many, but took a shot at 150-1.
I like, we have a true pod play. That Let's is go. Fun to get going in there. I will say, Kelly, I share Russell Henley with you as well. Have him as an outright. And then you played Post in the placement market. I actually played Post in as an outright as well. Poston just really lit up the model for me across the board. Pretty much everything I was kind of looking for, I was getting, and he really did, like I said, just pop and every version of the model. Now, you would like to see him, you know, off the tee would be the one thing where you kind of point to Poston and see that he's, as far as, you know, in this field, he's in the bottom half of that. But everything else, he tends to be fairly well and places pretty high. So I did go ahead and throw Poston in there, and hopefully he can find the driver for a tournament. Yeah. For us.
And Matt, just to add on to that real quick, like I always think this is, we try to mention this, but like I definitely factored in some off the tee stuff pretty heavily in my models. And when you do that and you still get guys like this that rise to the top, it just really shows where the rest of their game has been so overall dominant that allows them to, you know, really get past some of the longer, longer and more accurate hitters that might be off the tee out there.
Yeah. So Henley, Poston, Svensson for me. I also have a Luke List ticket, and this was strictly because of where he was showing up in the models comparatively to the odds that were attached to Luke List. And you kind of go and you start to look at some of the stuff that he brings to the table, and you're like, okay, he's got some of the stuff here that could that could work out. And so I went with Luke List, and then I'm doing a buy low here, guys, and I know he's been playing like absolute garbage, but I played Matt Fitzpatrick, and it's one of those things where I'm looking at, you know, the skill set he brings. Typically, we would look and be like, oh, this course is going to be hard. He's a grinder. He's a dude that can go out there, just make a bunch of pars. He's not super flashy, whatever. He has been playing bad. I am aware, right? Cut at the Sony. 58th at Pebble Beach. He did get 15th down in Phoenix, but then at the Genesis was just absolutely horrible. And actually missed the cut there at the Genesis. So the form, not all that great for him right now riding in here. But if we're talking about the prototypical golfer for what we kind of like for this course, Fitzpatrick is it. And so I'm going to see if he can put it together this round. And again, his odds have slipped to a point, you know, if this were 6 months ago, Fitzpatrick would be, you know, he'd be second on the odds board behind Rory at like, you know, 11 or 12 or something. So I'm going to try to do a little buy low here on Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I would say the one I was considering kind of along the same line of thinking was Sungjae Im. I know he has been absolutely horrific this season, but kind of like you just said, Matt, right? If this was we play this tournament a year ago, and with this field, where is Sungjae on the odds board? He's way up there. You're talking about getting a 40-1 right now at DraftKings on a guy who's won this tournament before. He's won this tournament before. It would have been, I don't know, like a low 20 or in the teens if we teed it up with this field a year ago. So I completely get the Fitzpatrick play. I was looking at Sungjae hard for that.
So the guy that is. And very well might make my card. So the first off for me was Tom Hoagie. Like you look and it's just like his approach numbers obviously are just always going to elevate him so high in these things. But I mean, you just look and it's like first overall in approach last 36 rounds in this field. He's second from the buckets, you know, and a lot of the buckets we're looking for, all that stuff. Like, yeah, he's not great off the tee either, but I might end up on a Hoagie ticket at the, and if not, like from an outright perspective, maybe that'll be a top 20 or something on Hoagie.
Yeah, I like the Luke List one was one that I was considering heavily. Of some of the other ones you just rattled off, it was. I guess I was hoping to get a little longer odds on Luke List. Yeah, it's 45-1 right now at DraftKings. I think he attracted some bettors out there, and I like you said, Matt, I think he has an attractive skill set for this week. You know, hey, if the putter can get going, and you know he can avoid some of the you know bad weather at times if it shows up. I absolutely think he could be a guy who's live here.
One of the things that will shock me is if I'm on a top 10 in this market this week, it's going to be 20s, 30s, and 40s predominantly this week, just because I think that there's so much variance at this course and there's so many one shot, you get a bad number, and this is going to be topsy turvy. Not only if you have outrights or matchups, this is going to be topsy turvy if you have placement markets here, because all of a sudden you're going to be, oh man, he's like T10 and then he makes a double or a triple and he's T35 and he's got a birdie at the last or something to get in the top 20. So when you look at form here, there's some guys that have some form, but you know, it's a lot of inconsistency too. Like, you know, like a Chris Kirk who won last year and finished seventh before, also has a couple missed cuts before that. So nobody really has a top 10, top 20, top five, everybody, even like the aces here, like the Daniel Bergers and the JT Postins and some of these guys are kind of higher on the board. Keith Mitchell, Chris Kirk, even though guys, Rory McIlroy especially as well, has a couple missed cuts here. So everybody, by the way, it is very Players Championship-esque in terms of the fact that you will see a couple good events and then miscut. And then a couple made cuts after that. So you get a lot of erratic form here because this course is so tough.
Kelly, who wins this tournament and you hate yourself because you didn't put him on the card?
Oh, good question. I don't probably JT Poston, especially now since you played it outright and I did it on him. JT Poston or Steven Yeager, just because I've been kind of riding the Yeager train and it's been paying off in finishing position markets. But he was a guy I think I was ready to make a case for. But man, he just really didn't spike at all for me this week.
Yeah, Shane Lowry will be mine.
He was one of mine too. Him and Eric Cole.
He's just inside the top seven in like every single model that I ran, and it's just And I just don't know. I just don't know why he's really bad from one of the approach buckets, Kelly. So maybe that's why he fell in your. He's like 103rd in this field from 150 to 175 yards. If that tells you anything, that knocks him down pretty good. But then you just look at all these other stuff and he's so high up there and I just couldn't put the ticket in. But yeah, if he wins, I'm going to be very, very upset. Who's your player you're going to hate if he wins?
Well, you have one there, Matt, Shane Lowry, and kind of a tie here with Eric Cole, who I just, man, it seems like he's still remained consistent. Even when he's not there, like right in the hunt and the fight to win a tournament or something, he's just continuously a cut maker and a guy that gets in them top 40s. I know he missed one this year, but if you look, he's got four top 14 finishes this year.
It's insane.
I think like seven events, and it's like, man, eventually when a guy knocks at the door, eventually he kicks it in, and maybe this is the week for Eric Cole, but he was certainly accounted for in the market, shall we say.
I'll put it this way. I will avoid the FOMO. I'll play him in one and done. That's what I'll do. I'll play Cole in one and done, and then that way there's no odds attached to his name, so I don't be like, I can't believe I'm paying this for Eric Cole, and I'll be happy if he wins or whatever. So I'll go one and done on Eric Cole this week. That's the way to keep the FOMO feeling there, Kevin.
No, that is a great way of doing that. I think I'm going to use – I hadn't really thought about one and done this week yet, but I think I'm going to use Adam Svensson because I can't imagine I'm going to like him this much again.
This year. Unless when we get to the RSM at the end of the year.
Right, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Guys, as always, everything over at VSiN.com, Wes's article, all of his picks, of course, all of the around the world picks as well, you can find over there on VSiN.com. If you haven't already, Golf, G-O-L-F, that'll give you $41 off an annual subscription. So go ahead and just sign up for a year. It'll be worth it. It's worth it. So go ahead and do that with the promo code Golf for Wes, for Kelly. I'm Matt. Good luck on all your Honda / Cognizant picks this week.